Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Eruvin Daf Mem Dalid. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We will begin today's shiur 9 lines from the top of Daf Mem Dalid. You'll notice a bow tie shape in the middle of the line. Before we begin today's shiur, just a word of introduction, and that is, truth be told, we're in the middle of a discussion, so that in order to truly appreciate the Gemara, it's very important to be familiar with that which we learned at the end of our previous shiur. That having been said, the end of the previous shiur, we discussed a mechitza shel b'nei Adam, where a person who had walked beyond his tchum, so if he walked beyond his tchum, there was a possibility, the Gemara raised, that of him being surrounded with a ring of people up till practically the point where his original tchum was. So being that he is in a mechitza, though he is outside the tchum, this is similar to the examples we had in the previous sukkah, of a person who had been out, taken out of his tchum and found himself in another, in a new enclosed area, so he could walk in that enclosed area. Likewise here, the wall of people surrounding him enables him to walk till his original tchum, and then go back to where he originally was. The details, of course, are part of our previous year. But all of that in mind, the main point is that there was a wall formed around the person who had left the tchum by people. On the side of our Gemara, we have a tatnosei, a subtopic heading, Shnei Mekoros Sosros. We will see two contradictory sources, the inyan Nofal Doifen Sukkah Bechag, where the wall of a sukkah falls down, one wall of the sukkah falls down, and how to deal with that. This will be the feature of these, of two sources. Under the Mivneh heading, the bow ties appear. These are Shnei Makoros 1 and 2 Hasosros that we just made reference to. And after the bow ties, you will see in the Gemara house shapes, and you'll see three of them on this Amid. They represent Gimel Nisyonis Liyashiv Hastira, three attempts to resolve the contradiction seen in these two sources. So now the Gemara. As we said, we're picking up from our previous discussion, Esfei Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. So Rav Nachman raises an objection, L'Rava, in the presence of Rava. He raises this as a question posed to Rava. Nofal Dofna, if the wall of a sukkah fell down, on Yom Tov, Lo Yamid Bo Odom Behema V'Kelim, one shall not position a person, an animal, or vessels to serve as the wall that fell down. V'Lo Yizkoif Es Hamita Lifros Oleo Sadin, nor shall one position a bed or a bed frame in an upright fashion, and with the anticipation of placing a sheet over it, which would serve as a wall. Lefi she'ein oisin oil aroi b'tchila b'yom tov. One is not allowed to make a structure, even if it's of a temporary nature. He cannot do so on Yom Tov. Ein tzorch lomer b'Shabbos, and it goes without saying that it would be prohibited to do on Shabbos. Omar le, Rava, upon hearing this, says, At Amris Li Meha, you raise this objection to me from that source. V'ano Amino Loch Meha, and I will respond to you with this source. Oisa Odom es Chavero Doifen, a person can position his friend as a wall of a sukkah, Kedei Shiochav Yishtev Yoshein, so that he can eat, drink, and sleep, which are the main mitzvos of sukkah. The Yiskoif es Amita Vifrasal Sadin, and a person can position the bed upright, place a sheet over it to serve as a wall, Kedei Shelo Tipol Chamo Al Hames Vala Oichlin. The wall here is not for a sukkah, but it's to serve to block the sun from beating down on a corpse or on food, and hence ruining the food. Kashi and Adodi. It would appear then that these two sources are contradictory. In source number one, it said Lo Yamid Bo Adam, and source number two, it says Osa Oid Adam Es Chavero Doifen. The Gemara says, really, there is no contradiction. Lo kashya, ha Rebbe Elazar, ha Rabbonon. Source number one, which is restrictive, is in accordance with the Tana Rebbe Elazar. And source number two, in accordance with the Rabbonon, that argue. Disnan, and here we have a source. This is a topic that we have seen in Maseches Shabbos. Those of you who learned the Masechta may recall this. It's a type of window shutter. It's called Pkaka Halon. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Bizman Shikoshur V'Tolui Pokikin Bo. If this board, which serves to close up a window, a type of shutter, if this board, the Pkak HaChalon, is tied and suspended, then you can fix it to the wall, sealing up the window. The imlav ain't poking in both. If it's not tied and suspended, then you cannot use it. V'chachomim omrim benkach u'benkach poking in both. The chachomim say whether it is tied and suspended or not, you can use it. What's the point? That when it comes to the issue of construction, so Rabbi Elazar is restrictive and the Rabbonan are lenient. The Gemara rejects this, namely the citation, the citing of Rebbe Elazar and the Rabbonan to resolve the sources we listed as 1 and 2 is not acceptable. And that takes a number of lines of the Gemara to point out. So it's a long dechi, a long rejection. Was it not said by Rabbi Bar Chana in the name of Reb Yochanan, Hakol Moidim? The Hakol means everyone, Reb Elazar and the Rabbonah that we just quoted, She'ein Oisin Oyel Aroy B'tchila B'yom Tov. V'ein Tzorch Lomar B'Shabbos. They agree you cannot make an initial structure, although it's temporary, on Yom Tov, and certainly not on Shabbos. And this idea of making an oil aroi is exactly what we were describing. In the case of the sukkah, you were making an oil aroi. You were making a structure, the wall being the structure. Lo nechleku elo lohoisif. Their machlokas between Rolozer and the Rabbanan was a more technical type of machlokas in a more lenient area, more lenient realm. Is lahoisif, means once you have an existing structure, can you add to it? Like the shutter put into a window that's in an existing wall. Rebbe Elazar Omer ein mosifin b'yom tov ein tzorach lomar b'Shabbos. Rebbe Elazar is very restrictive. He says you can't even add to an existing structure. And v'chachom omer mosifin b'Shabbos ein tzorach lomar b'yom tov. The Chachom say you can add on Shabbos, and it goes without saying that you can add on Yom Tov. However, as far as making the wall, even if it's temporary, even the Rabbanan, who appear to be lenient, won't allow that. Ela, lo kashya. So we have to seek a new resolution for the two sources listed above as 1 and 2. The Gemara says there is no contradiction. Ha, Rabbi Meir. Ha, Karebi Meir. Ha, Karebi Yehuda. Disanya. One source follows Rabbi Meir and the other Rabbi Yehuda. Where are their shitos? So in the following source, it says, Asol de behema doifen lesukah, Rabbi Meir posel, Rabbi Yehuda machshir. one who makes his sukkah. Sukkah has several walls. So, according to Rabbi Meir, if you make the wall of a sukkah using an animal, so it's not kosher. The sukkah is not kosher. And Rabbi Yehuda says it's kosher. Rabbi Meir, the Koposil, Rabbi Meir who says that the wall is of an animal, made by, formed by an animal, is ineffective. Man de Koposil Hosam, he who, let's read that again. Rabbi Meir de Koposil Hosam, Rabbi Meir who passels over there in the case of the sukkah, Alma lo mechitzi. So it would show you that the animal is not a wall. Hocha shori, the lav midi ka'ovid. Here in the case of making a mechitza on Shabbos or Yom Tov, you're not doing anything, therefore source number two can allow it. It's not, you're not considered doing something of significance. It doesn't have significance, because if it did, the sukkah wouldn't be puzzle. So that which Rabbi Meir says, that using the animal as a wall for a sukkah, the sukkah is no good, so it's not considered of significance. Therefore, when it comes to Shabbos Yontif, there would be no problem in doing that. The Rebbe Yehuda de Komachshir Hasam, Rebbe Yehuda who says that by the sukkah, that's a good wall, it's considered a good, it's considered something of significance. Alma mechitzahi, that would show us that the animal serves as a mechitza. Hocha'osar, here in the case of Shabbos, he will prohibit. So the source number one, which says lo yamid bo adam behem of the kelim, would be in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda. As we continue in the Gemara, note that we again have a long dechia, a rejection. The suggested resolution of setting up source number two like Rebbe Meir and source number one like Rebbe Yehuda is rejected. V'tisbro. Amar d'shamis lay l'Rebbe Meir behema. Granted, we see that Rebbe Meir says that a behema is not a tikkun for as a mechitza. Therefore, for a sukkah, therefore it would be mutter to set up a behema on Shabbos. Adam v'kelim mi shamis lei. Did we hear Rabbi Meir say anything about a person or vessels? There are differences, and therefore maybe Rabbi Meir's objection to a wall for a sukkah, that's only if it's a behema. But Adam and kelim maybe not so. And we, in our sugya, are talking about the sources that we're trying to resolve mentioned also Adam and Kalim. Vesu, Rabbi Meir, Aliva Deman, Rabbi Meir, who says what he does, would be in accordance with whom? E Aliva de Rabbi Eliezer, Lahoisif Nami Osar. If Rabbi Meir was saying his din according to Rabbi Eliezer, so Rabbi Eliezer, he answers even adding, not only making, but adding. In contrast with Rabbi Meir in source number two that you try to say is in accordance with Rabbi Meir, he is allowing the making of a doifen. So Rabbi Meir, who is a later Tanaic authority, upon whom is he based? If he were to be based on, according to Rabbi Lezer takes an extreme opposite opinion where even Lehoisif is forbidden. Elo Aliva de Rabbanon, do you want to say that Rabbi Meir is in accordance with the Rabbanon? Amar Diamri Rabbanon Lahoisif, all the Rabbanon said, who were arguing with Rebbe Lezer, says you are allowed to be Moisif to a binyan. However, Lechadchila mi Omar, to make an initial structure, would the Rabbanon concede to that? No. Ela, this is a third attempt to resolve the sources. Ha v'ha Rabbanon. Both sources are in accordance with the Rabbanan. And what we have to do now is resolve the contradiction. If you're saying both sources are according to the Rabbanan, we have to resolve the contradiction when it comes to vessels. And that's what the triangle highlights, the case of Kalim versus Kalim. And on the top of Omid Beis, you'll see another triangle where we have to resolve the contradiction regarding Adam. And on the side of our Gemara, we've noted the triangle and mentioned that these are Yishuv Stirus Bebraisis Deliel. This is the point where we try to resolve the contradictions. The Gemara, both sources we said are according to the Rabbanan. The Kalim Akalim Lo Kashya, the standing up of the bed, can you do that or can you not do it? No question. Ha b'doifin shlishes, ha b'doifin revias. In source number one, you were dealing with a sukkah that needed a third wall. In other words, it was a three-walled sukkah, which is acceptable. You don't need to have four walls. All you need are three walls. However, one of the three walls fell down, making the sukkah unacceptable. So that is the prohibition in source number one. It's doifen shlishis. Source number two, ha b'doifen revias. As we just got finished saying, that a sukkah doesn't need to have a fourth wall. So if you're putting up that which is not necessary, so you're not considered having done something of significance, and hence it wouldn't constitute a Shabbos violation. Daiko nami, by careful reading of the source, you can see our answer. Dekotoni, it said in source 1, Nofal dofno shmamino. Being that it said in source number 1, Nofal dofno, said its wall. That term, its wall, sounds like the wall that makes it into what it is, makes it into a sukkah, indicating the third wall had fallen down. So, shma mina. So this is conclusive. That's a conclusive resolution with regard to the use or prohibition thereof of kalim forming the wall. If it's making the third wall of the sukkah, so it's not allowed. That was source one. If it's a question of a fourth wall, that is what source two was speaking about. Ela odom a'odom kashya. But what about the sources with regard to the contradiction about a person? Gemara answers, odom a'odom nami lo kashya. Kan ledas, kan shelo midas. If the person is serving as a wall and is aware of that, so then it's not allowed. However, if he is positioned there not realizing why he was positioned there, that's Shalol Das, that's source number two, then it's Mutter. The Gemara asks, V'ha de Rebbe Nechemya Brei de Rabbi Chaniloi Lidas Have. Back on Mem Gimel Amid Beis, you can see we have a star to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. You can align this with a corresponding star on the left-hand side as well of the Gemara text with a back on Mem Gimel Amid Beis, where we saw people were positioned around the one who left the Tchum, making a wall around him. And even though they were placed there as a wall, and they ostensibly knew that, and we relied on them, so that you see that Lidas is okay. The Gemara says, Shelo Midas Habe. In that story, the people that was positioned to serve as a wall were unaware. They were unaware of why they were standing around him. Question, Rav Chisda Mio Lidas Habe. But in that story, Rav Chisda, who was also there, he knew what was going on. He knew that he was serving as a wall together with the other people. The Gemara says, Rav Chisda shelo min haminyan have. Rav Chisda, back there on Mem Gimel Amid Beis, was not one of the people standing as a wall. He knew that the people surrounding him were serving as a wall around the one who had left the tum. However, Reb Chisda was not one of those people forming the human wall. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a marking. The diamonds represent what we see under our Mivneh heading on the side. Maisim shel shimush b'mechitzas b'nei odam. We'll see two stories that illustrate the use of people as a wall. The Gemara. Hano b'nei genona. These are people that were what the Rabbeinu Hananel calls b'nei chupa, people that were serving a newlywed couple. Da'ilu maya b'mechitza shel b'nei odam. Water was they brought in from a rishus harabim to a rishus hayochid using a wall of people around the water. So that once the water was surrounded, it was like a rishus hayochid, and therefore they were able to carry the water from there to a courtyard. Now Rashi adds very importantly, the ayul mayam rishus harabim rishus hayochid v'huk b'u l'sham l'das. They were put there knowing that they were going to be a wall. Shodiyum shelakachim nikbotzim. They were informed that they are gathered around to form a wall around the water for this purpose. So the Gemara continues, Nagdinu Shmuel. Shmuel lashed them. Omar, and he claimed, Im Omru Shalol Adas, if it was said to, that you can use a human wall without their knowledge, Yomru Ladas, was it ever said that it can be done with their knowledge? No, as we saw before in the Gemara. Hano ziki dehavishadion baristika demechuza. There were some ziki. These are skin bottles or leather flasks. They belonged to Rava that were shadion. They were cast in the streets of Mechuza. The ristika, for our purposes, represents a public thoroughfare, a rishus harabim. Bahadi de also Rava mipirke. When Rava was coming back from his pirke, from his shiur, from his public lecture, Arlinu Nihale. People, they brought them into Rava's house using a human wall. Rashi points out, Bahadi Da'asi Rava Mipirke, Vahaya Gidud de Shoime Hadrosha Boy Nachrav. There was a throng of people who had listened to his lecture that followed Rava home. Notlon Shamosh Vehevion Besoch Mechitzos Aboin. And the shamash, a servant, picked up the flasks in the midst of the throng. So the throng was serving as a human wall. We continue in the Gemara. L'shabato achriti boi alinu v'osar luhu. The next week, the same thing happened again. In other words, there was this intention of bringing the skin bottles in using the human crowd. And Rava objected, "Dehave le kilidas v'oser," because doing it again is like lidas. It's viewed as if it's done with knowledge, even though technically speaking, no. But it seems that that since it's a repeat act, it becomes as if it's done with their knowledge, and therefore not allowed. That's their v'oser. We continue with a list of Rabbonim. You'll notice on the side under our Mivneh, the double underline highlights Rabbonim, Shehelu, Lohem Dvorim, Mirshus Harab, Mirshus HaYochid, Ayidei, Mechitzas, B'nei Odom. So three different rabbis that had benefited from a human wall. Levi, Ailu, Le, Tivna. In the case of Levi, some straw was brought in from the outside, from the street to his house, using a human wall. Ziri aspasta. For Ziri, they brought in aspasta. This is tavua before it becomes fully ripe. It's called shachas. And tavua being grains before they fully develop. And Of course, they were detached. We're just dealing with the issue of tiltil here. And Rav Simi Bar Chiya Maya. They brought water in from a Rishus Rabbim to a Rishus HaYochid for Rav Simi using a human wall. The Mishnah. Mi Shiyotza Birishus. Someone who left the Tchum with legal permission. Rashi cites three examples. One, he says, Le'edus HaChodesh. Two is Lahatsu Min HaGayis, Min HaNor. And three is a Chachoma Abole Lialeid. So Rashi's examples include someone who was a part of a group of witnesses that went out on the 29th of the month to see a new phase of the moon. And it happened to be on a Shabbos. So they walked out and to a place that they could see, maybe get a clear glimpse of the sky. And in order to do that, they left the Tchum. And it's, of course, there's a mitzvah in serving as a witness, one of two witnesses, to testify to this effect. People who go out on a mission of saving lives. And that's Lahatsu Min HaGayis. Third example is a person who goes out on a mission to help a woman deliver her child. So they went out, they left their tchum, they birishus. Now, the Mishnah continues, v'omrulo kvar naase maise, and after they were on their way, so they were told that they are not needed anymore. Whatever they were needed for is already accomplished. Yesh lo apayim amo l'chol ruach. The person has 2,000 amos in all directions. Rashi adds, Mimokom Shinemalo, from the place that he was told he is no longer needed. So even though he started out on his journey, and from the Mishnah it would sound like, even though he left his tchum, unlike other people who leave their tchum for no obligatory reason, someone on his own leaves the tchum, so we know they are restricted to 4 amos. In this case, they are not restricted. Im hoya besocha tchum, ki ilu lo yotza. If he is still within the tchum, it's as if he hasn't gone out. This will be explained extensively by the Gemara. Kol hayotzim lahatzil, chozrin l'mekomon. This line also is not 100% clear. The Gemara will deal with it. But the translation is that all those who went out on a mission to save can go back to their original place. The Gemara. Mai im hoyo besoch hatchum ki'ilu lo yotza. What does that line of the Mishnah mean? The question is, how can you say ki'ilu lo yotza? Why is it ki'ilu lo yotza? He definitely did not go out. It said in the Mishnah, "Im hoya besoch hatchum." If he's within the tchum, it's as if he didn't go out. But he's in the tchum. He's still there. It's not some type of need. There's no need to parallel it to another case. Omar Rabo. You will see in the Gemara, Rabo is called number one, and at the first wide line, Rav Simi is listed as number two. And on the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei, a topic heading. Shnei piushim lasbir ha-mishna. Im hoya besoch hatchum ki'ilu lo yotza. Legabi mish yotza birshus. We're going to have two explanations for this phrase that said ki'ilu lo yotza. Regarding the case of someone who left birshus with halachic permission or acceptance. Another point that we'll discuss in the Gemara is something called Havloas Tchumen. This has to do with an idea of overlapping Tchumen. And with the examples of the Gemara, we will see it more clearly. We continue now in the Gemara. Omar Rabba, Hochi Komar. So now we have a rereading of the Mishnah. Im hoya besochat chum sheloi. If he is in, if after he started on his journey, he was told that he's not needed anymore, but he hasn't left his original tchum. Ki'ilu lo yotza mitoch beiso domi. The ki'ilu lo yotza is not going on the tchum, but it's going on his house. We're saying it's as if he didn't leave his house. The point being that one should not think that he will now measure his 2,000 amas from the point that he was informed that he's not necessary anymore, but his measuring of 2,000 amas goes back to his house. The 2,000 amas that a person is entitled to walk on Shabbos will be measured 2,000 amas in all directions around his house, and not around the point that he was just informed that he was not necessary. The Gemara asks Pshita, would appear to be obvious that if he's not, if he's still within his tchum, so it's as if he, so it's as if he's still at home. In other words, he was told he's still within his tchum, told he's not necessary, so of course he goes back home, and his tchum is evaluated from the house. Mahu detei mal, the Gemara says, I'll tell you why it's not so pashit, why it's not so obvious. I might have thought hoyel v'okar okar. That since he started on a journey that was done with halachic acceptance or halachic permission, so we also know that in the event that he actually had left the tchum, he would have 2,000 amas from the point that he was informed that he's not necessary. So I would have thought that this idea of having 2,000 amas around where you are is true here, even when he's still within his original tchum. In other words, there's this idea that mimokim shenamalo, from the point that you were informed, you get 2,000 amas. I would have thought that's true, even if he's within his original tchum. Komash molon. So that's the point of the Mishnah to tell me not to think thusly, but rather there's a difference between someone who had actually left his original tchum and was told he's not necessary anymore, and as opposed to a person who didn't leave his original tchum, even though he's told the same thing. The Gemara continues, Rav Simi bar Chiya Omar, Hochi ko Omar. Rav Simi offers a new pshat. Now, Rav Simi's pshat involves a person who actually left his original tchum. There's diagram 18 in the Pirush Chai will accompany this particular answer. So you'll notice in diagram 18 the concept of overlapping tchumen is illustrated. So we have a person there who left his house. The circle around the house represents 2,000 amas, a radius of 2,000 amas. That circle, in effect, would be 4,000 amos, and it touches on a second area where the person has been informed that he is not necessary anymore. Where is that person? That person is at a point that he was informed, that's the point that he was informed he's not necessary. Now you can see there he's left his original tchum. However, the tchum, the point that he's standing right now overlaps with his original tchum. So the chiddush of the mission is that he is allowed to go back to his original tchum. Rav Simi bar Chiya Omar Hochi Komar, im hoyu tchumin shenostu lo chachomim muvloin besoch tchum shelo. If the tchum that the Chachamim granted a person who was allowed to leave his tchum, and that new tchum that he's in now, it overlaps with his original tchum, ki'ilu lo yotza mitchumo. So here the ki'ilu lo yotza of the Mishnah is going on the term tchum, but it's simply not referring to his original tchum. It's ki'ilu lo yotza, in effect, we're describing a person that's in a new tchum, and it's ki'ilu lo yotza from his original tchum. B'mai komiflugi, what's the underlying point of machloikis between these two opinions, namely that of Rabo and that of Rav Simi? Morsovar have lost chumin milsehi. Rav Simi says that the overlapping of tchumen has halachic relevance. In other words, the fact that there's overlapping enables him to go back to his original location. Umor sovar lav milsi. It's important to point out that when you say overlapping tchum, we're allowing him to go back from where he is. He's going to be allowed to go back home, even though that distance is almost 4,000 amos. Umor sovar lav milsi. Rabo says once he's left his tchum, so then there's no heter. Once he's left his original tchum, there's no heter for him to go back to his house when he's informed that he's not necessary, but he will measure 2,000 amos from where he is. Omale, now we start a new scheme of markings, continuing, of course, the discussion. The triangles that appear represent a ma'akav, and this we indicate under our mivnading on the side, an attempt to keep track of the give-and-take style of Gemara. With the point facing up, the triangle represents kushios, questions, and with the inverted triangle, those are tshuva's responses. If you sneak preview the Gemara, that means you skim ahead till Mem Hey Omet Aleph. Structurally, you will notice that the end of this flurry of give and take, there we end off with a triangle point facing up. So we're going to end up with a question or possibly an objection to that which is implied by the Gemara at this point. So we start off with our first question. Omar Leah Baye Larabo, Viat Lo Tisbro Dav Loas Tchumin Milsehi. Do you not concede that this concept of overlapping of Tchumin has halachic significance? In other words, that havlos tchumen leads to a leniency. Do you not agree with that? Now we take advantage of illustration 19 in the Pirush Chai. Rashi has an illustration that is of a very similar nature. That this Rashi illustration that's printed in the Rashi is what you see in the illustration 19 as well. Abaye says, In this illustration, what do we see? We see this is a cross section, so we see a cave. The floor of the cave measures 4,000 amos. The roof of the cave, being that the walls slant inwards, is less than 4,000 amos. There is an understanding, there's a given in this discussion, that when a person who accepted Shabbos in the cave, so the whole cave is, it's a cave is an enclosed area, so for him it's like 4 amos, so he's allowed to carry in the cave. There's no question about that. However, when he goes to the top, to the exit, the halacha is going to be telling us that he can go 2,000 amos in both directions from each one of the entrance ways. So in the Pirush Chai illustration, it's hard to see this on the Rashi illustration, but you can see he has numbers, so that if one entrance is the eastern entrance, that is what's pictured in the Pirush Chai, the right hand side exit or entrance to the cave that's on the top, that's the eastern entrance, he's got 2,000 amos in both directions from that. Likewise, from the western entrance, he is entitled to 2,000 amos in both directions. You will notice that on the roof, the 2,000 amos overlap. In other words, there's an overlapping of tchumen. the fact that these tumen overlap, we are, this is what Abaye is arguing, give this person a right to walk a total distance of much more than 4,000 amos, from one extreme position to the next extreme position, you could reach a point of almost 8,000 amos. That means that once you're on the roof, you can walk practically 4,000 amos to the east, and without going back into the cave, you can walk practically 4,000 amos to the west. Let's continue now in the Gemara. So Abaye says to Rabbah, "V'at lo tizbro davlos tchumen milsi." Do you not concede that the overlapping of tchumen is of significance and can yield a leniency? Uma ilu shavas b'mora shebesorcha arba'as alofim. Imagine someone accepted Shabbos while he was in the cave, which had an area of 4,000 amos to it. V'al dago pochos me'arboas alofim amo, and the roof, because the walls of the cave leaned inwards, so as the illustration shows, the roof itself was less than 4,000 amos. Lo nimso mahalich es kula v'chutzolo alpayim amo. Do you not agree? And he does agree. Rabba agrees that you can walk the entire roof, and besides that, 2,000 amos to the east of the eastern entranceway and 2,000 amos to the west of the western entranceway. And if you were to measure the from one extreme to the other, he is walking almost 8,000 amos. Now, why is this? How are we allowing this? Is this not a function of Havloas Tumin? The question then is, why does Rabbah not agree with Rav Simi Bar Chiyo's explanation of the Mishnah? Omar Lei, Rabbah responds, "V'lo shoni loch bein echa de shavas ba'avir mechitzes mibo'od yoyim lehecha de lo shavas ba'avir mechitzes mibo'od yoyim." Do you not make a distinction between the case of the cave, where he, let's say, gained this extensive tchum by virtue of the fact that he accepted Shabbos within a walled area, within an enclosed area? Being within the walls, being in an enclosed area, has more halachic significance, more power to it. That's how he's able to get so much room to move, to walk. As opposed to the case of the Mishnah, where we're talking about this, the outdoors. There's no cave in the Mishnah. He's on the, he's walking through the outdoors. He's walking through fields or open roads. That doesn't entitle him to benefit from Havloas Tchumen. Question. Echa delo shovas loi. And where he wasn't shoves within a walled area, we don't say Havloas Tchumen. Behotanan. We continue at the top of Mem Hei Omer Aleph. Do we not have the following source? Rebbe Lezer Omer. Shtayim yikones, shalosh lo yikones. If a person left his tchum by a distance of 2 amos, he's allowed to go back into the tchum. If he left his area, his tchum, by 3 amos, he cannot go back. My love, Rebbe Lezer Letamei. Is it not so that we should understand Rebbe Lezer inconsistent with his whole logic? The Omar, Rebbe Lezer says, illustration 20 in the Pirush Chai, it's a simple illustration, but his shita is v'hu b'emtzon. The person who is given 4 amos, the person who leaves a tchum, we say that a person who leaves his tchum cannot walk more than 4 amos. And Rabbi Eliezer explains that those 4 amos mean 4 amos with him in the middle of them, meaning the person can walk two amos in all directions, but that's it, it's quite restricted. The Gemara goes on, the arba amos diavu le rabbanon, the four amos that were given to a person who left his tchum, kiman demivlaon damu. It's as if they are overlapping, or let's say in this case they're touching upon his original tchum. Again, we're talking about a person that left his tchum on Shabbos. A person like that has now a din of your, he's entitled to four amos, two amos in all directions around him. So if he left his original tchum by a mere two amos, his new personal tchum of four amos, which is two amos in all directions, his new range touches upon his original tchum, the ko'omar ikones. And Rebbe Elazar says he can go back into his original tchum. Alma avloas tchumin milsahi. So you see that avloas tchumin is milsa even without mechitzos. Omar lei. So this is now a response on the part of Rabbah. He says, Omar Lei, this is not the same Rabbah, this is Omar Lei, Rabbah Bar Bar Chana L'Abaye. Abaye, who was trying to challenge the original Rabbah approach, so Rabbah Bar Bar Chana enters the picture, says he's a different person, and he says to Abaye, Umed Rebbe Elazar Ke Moisus Lei L'Mor, from Shitas Rebbe Elazar, you are trying to challenge more, more is Rabbah. The Rabbanan disagree. The Rabbanan disagree with Rebbe Elazar. And that being, they wouldn't allow him to go back into the tchum because havloas tchum in lav milsehi, havloas tchum is not of significance. Omar lei, Abaye says back, and Abaye, if you're following the structure of the Gemara, Abaye was the original questioner, so hence Abaye reinstates his question. He says, "In yes, I am asking based on Rebbe Elazar, the Shmuel Emine Demor." Because I heard from Rabbah the following teaching. This teaching is in quotation marks till the two dots, three lines from here. Ad kan lo pligi rabbon or leder belozer elo ledvar horoshus. The rabbonon disagree with Rebbe Elazar only regarding a person that left his tchum for personal reasons. Avol ledvar mitzvah modele. But a person who left his tchum for mitzvah purposes, the Rabbanan will concede to Rebbe Eliezer that he can go back to his original tchum. That if there is any overlapping of tchumen, even though he left his original tchum, since he left his original tchum l'dvar mitzvah, he can go back. And our Mishnah was a case of leaving for a dvar mitzvah. That was the whole point of the Mishnah. Someone who left his tchum birushus. Birushus means birushus mitzvah, with the permission of the Torah to leave the tchum. Don't confuse, by the way, the term of birushus in the Mishnah with the term lidvar horushus just mentioned in the Gemara. Lidvar horushus mentioned in the Gemara was for elective purposes, for your own personal reason. The word rishus in the Mishnah was a reference to having left the tchum for mitzvah purposes. So if one leaves for mitzvah purposes, then there is a concept of havloas tchum that would apply. So the question that we are left off with, which Abaye leaves us with, is why should Rabbah, in explaining our Mishnah, not accept the Rav Simi Bar Chiya's approach, which was more liberal, allowing more flexibility based on havloas tchumin. Before we close our shir, let us just remind you that we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. So with that, we conclude our shiur for today.